My name is Ox DeVere, and this is my writer's dossier.
No writers were harmed in the production of this podcast.
You have the coolest newsletter. Parker, folks, we're out here with author of some really cool books and awesome series. This is Gorgons, the latest by Ox DeVere. Thanks for joining, Parker. How are you?
I'm great. Jeff, how are you?
I'm good. The newsletter. I'm going to have to edit all my blabbity blah out because it is so cool. And here's the thing. Greeny has a cool newsletter. Mark Greeny. Everybody go out there and grab that. Jack Stewart has a cool newsletter. All right. Your newsletter, best of all. All right. Come on. Food.
Oh, thank you.
Weapons and whiskey. All right. Come on, folks. I mean, you know, that was made for the writer's dossier.
Yeah. Found that the irony of a writer's newsletter is people actually don't really want to read very much. Don't put many words in your newsletter. It's like mostly pictures, and they're sort of big, and they're one at a time, and they have like a funny caption, different topics. And I heard someone say early on that just add value to people. Like, I don't sell stuff. You know, there's a link at the bottom always if you want to buy the book, but just give them something that's interesting to their day, that amuses them, that's helpful, that's a good suggestion or a recommendation. And it's a lot of work. I have fun with it, but it takes a lot of time.
All of this extra stuff takes a lot of time, but it's worth it when I see that pop in my inbox. I always go through it. So folks, go to OxDevere, OxDevere.com. Right there. Newsletter offer will come up. You've got to get this because we have so much in common. I can't believe we never talked about this in New York or all the different places that we've seen each other, but the travel. I love your travel pictures and your comments. You just recently got back from somewhere. Tell me about that trip.
Yeah, I was in Greece for 10 days, taking a boat around some of the islands, around some of the coastal areas. It has a lot to do with the book.
Right here. Folks watching on YouTube, I'm holding up Gorgons right here by Ox DeVere. Yes, and that is the Parthenon?
Yes, it is. And in fact, I was going back and forth with the cover designer as I was going to the Parthenon. So like, I think the morning I was set to go up there, I got that first design back and I just couldn't believe it. I was thrilled. And walking up there, it's quite a hike. And it's been there like a lot of steps, takes a while to get there. It's crap entrance, like there's a front area and you can't really see through it. Lots of pillars, roof. And so you like wait your turn and then you climb those stairs and it just emerges in front of you. And then you are standing on the Acropolis of Greece looking at one of the most legendary buildings in history. And it's such an epic spectacle. Like, I can't possibly oversell it, except there are a lot of like scaffolding, but still in your mind, you won't remember that. You'll remember this is the Parthenon. It's just fantastic sight. So that was especially cool. Greece is amazing. And if you like cats, Greece is doubly amazing because I've never seen so many cats in my whole life. I ended up taking photos that I put in an album called The Cats of Greece, and every one of them got like a portrait mode photo.
Yeah.
I was beautiful. Like, yeah, why not? Yeah.
Well, it's funny you bring up cats because we're in the writer's dossier studio here, a speakeasy occasional writer's room. And right outside that door is our cat who showed up 9 years ago and we're still up for adoption. So different story, different podcast altogether. But if you want my cat, go to jeffcircle.com.
It's a long foster.
Yes. And we fostered her well. She can be isolated. She lives in this whole area by herself. No, we got a couple dogs and they don't get along. Anyways, a whole nother podcast of please buy my cat or take my cat. I will pay you. That's the name of the podcast. I know it's long. The website, the URL is available. All right. So Greece, you had most of your book written when you went. Right.
Yeah, I have a weird thing about that. I'm like always a little bit late to the travel.
Okay.
I did because they're like really globetrotters, all of them. Yeah. There's no way I can go everywhere I want to write about. So I really need to pick a centralizing location. And the first book was Rage of the Djinn. I ended up going to Portugal.
Yeah, and that's nice.
I got to go to some of these places that I studied the hell out of. I mean, I went to the Convent of Christ in in one area, and I was walking through it going, I got it right. I got it right. I drew maps. I drew diagrams. I sketched it out. And I was like, if I hadn't gotten it right, that was my chance to fix it before I published it. But I could have given the tour. I was so happy. I was like, and this is why I research till my eyes bleed so that I can get it right. And then Scotland too. I went to Scotland sort of on the back end of writing. But I do always do this before I publish. So I have the opportunity to go mess with things. But it's a great excuse to travel, man. It's great. So same thing with Greece. I was like, I need to go to places before I do the bulk of my writing next time. But I have not been disappointed in the adjustments I've made. So it's worked so far.
It has worked so far because people want that authenticity. They want that subject matter expertise and that feeling of actually being there. And you can do that. You can give that. Did you have to, in any of those travel situations when you got back, how much work, or like for this one, Gorgons, how much work after the fact did you say, I can make this even better, or I've got to change this? I know nothing was wrong because your research is impeccable, but did you get a chance to like, oh, I can really do this?
Yeah, it wasn't really much changing so much as adding, actually.
Add
just a few smaller flavors or phrases or comments. Like, I didn't know that in Greece, graffiti is everywhere. I've never seen anything like it. Nice city streets, nasty city streets. No one tries to get rid of it. It's just a fact of life. And I was like, I wouldn't have known that through my research. I had to go and be in the streets of Athens and every other city. So that just like bits of flavor sort of had, because the main elements I needed to get right off the bat. You know, I have no excuse to not know what certain areas are like because it's very findable. We have the internet.
It's amazing.
Amazing.
Don't try to go to Venice with your GPS, though. You will get lost. Everybody does.
Yeah. Yeah. I've written in Venice before and I'm like, yeah, it's a canal.
Yeah. Just follow the water. Hey, so I introduced you at the very beginning of this. I know I called you Parker, but we talked about Oxtavir. And again, if you're watching on YouTube, you see the name Oxtavir on the cover here. Just to break down, and thanks for your book. When I got back from Budapest last month, it was waiting for me. And your kind note, thank you so much. Ridley, we're going to talk about Ridley for a second in a minute here, folks. But Oxtavir, show of hands of everyone in the audience right now, even if you're driving, raise your hand if you understand the connection there. Oxtavir, and Parker, explain to us what that's all about.
So my real name is Parker Jameson, which sounds fake. I realize it sounds like a pen name someone would choose to be an author by. But
or an 80s adventure show. It went between the A-Team and Knight Rider, starring Parker Jameson.
My parents will be so proud. Yeah, so I never wanted to write under my own name. I'm a fairly private person. I just don't want my name on the front of a book anywhere in any public setting. But I just, for some reason, this thing popped into my head that I sort of discovered maybe a year before, just by chance. I don't know if anyone listening has ever heard those weird conspiracy theories about Shakespeare, about like, oh, Shakespeare didn't write Shakespeare. It was like Christopher Marlowe secretly. I'm like, really? Why wouldn't he want to write the best stuff under his own name? So it was always weird. And then like, oh, multiple people wrote Shakespeare. I just always thought these were really crank things. And then one time I heard two of the most respected Shakespearean actors in England discussing this, and they posited the theory that there is no way that this man, Stratford-upon-Avon, some grain merchant amateur actor who never left the country, who could barely sign his own name, there's no way he wrote the works of Shakespeare, not because of intelligence, but because of knowledge. Nobody had access to a library unless you were rich. If you didn't leave the country, you couldn't possibly know what 13 different Italian cities were like, and the royals and the scandal, like, you just can't find that stuff out. And so they had a very strongly supported theory that the man who really wrote the works of Shakespeare needed to do so under a pen name. And he was Edward de Vere, the 17th Earl of Oxford.
There you go.
And so I was like, okay, you have my attention and I need to look more into this. And I went down the rabbit hole, and I have a spot on my website where if you want to go down the rabbit hole, you're free. But I am 98% convinced upon reading the life and works of the Earl of Oxford. Wow. That's the dude. And it makes sense why he had to write under a pen name as well. because he was skewering the inner court. He was very high up in Queen Elizabeth's court. And he was skewering very powerful people in his works. And so don't perform them in court, chuck them to the globe and have the people see. So when I realized I wanted a pen name, I was like, ooh, Ox de Vere, I will definitely get the domain name. And it's like kind of a tribute to what I see as the most famous pen name of all time that people don't know was a pen name. That's where it came from.
That is.
Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
Yes. Obviously the smartest person in the room right now who actually does a research, Ox de Vere, it's right here on the book. And you do explain it a little bit on the website, but definitely folks, go to the website, go to Ox de Vere. Don't forget to sign up for that newsletter. But let's talk about this new book. It's the third one. Ridley is at it again. Ridley is just kick ass. I mean, come on. And I know people ask, is it you? And you're like, no. And you've already answered that question. It's not. This is not an autobiography. Although I have no doubt that you could do all those things. You can definitely handle your weapons and your whiskey. But tell us what.
She doesn't like whiskey. She doesn't drink whiskey. Is that crazy? That's how you know she's not me. She doesn't drink
bourbon. There you go. See, folks, these are the kinds of nuggets you're going to find on the writer's dossier. Tell us about what Ridley's up to in this book. What's going on here?
Oh, boy. This is the big question. Okay.
This is why everyone waited 12 minutes.
This is it? Yeah. This is the goods. So Ridley Samaras, this is the third appearance in my books. She is a woman who was the first woman to qualify for the BUDS training pipeline to become a Navy SEAL. So astonishing physical capabilities. She washed out due to an injury. So she carries this chip on her shoulder that she'll never be able to find out if she could have done it. And that grates at her more than failing. So she was recruited into this odd unit in the CIA, which sort of tracks down questionable, unusual, maybe supernatural items around the world that other people happen to be looking for. So in this book, there's a pair of Iranian archaeologists who make a discovery on a Greek island, and they find a stela, which is like a big stone tablet, that testifies that this was the palace of King Polydectes, but he was myth. There's no record that he should have existed. And so they find evidence that he existed. And also on that stela, they find some weird evidence that Medusa existed. And this sets the archaeologists off on the, well, we have to find out. We have to dig. We have to see what's up. So they follow sort of this odd trail around like the Mediterranean area, trying to find the items that Perseus allegedly used, all the weapons and the armor. And apparently they were scattered. So the archaeologists are after this. The unfortunate part about the archaeologists going off is they are dissidents from the Iranian regime, and they've got bounties on their heads because they're outspoken against the murderous theocrats running that country. So Ridley has to work with a State Department protective agent as she tries to find the goods. He's trying to protect them. Sometimes they're at odds, and there are multiple motivations happening. But they trek around, they go some extremely cool places, some dangerous places, and they are looking for weirdly mythical items that should never exist in the first place.
Love it. Okay, so I'm going to throw this out here. Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm picturing Clive Cussler, so Dirk Pitt meets Rick from The Mummy and Indiana Jones. And I'm throwing Indiana Jones in there on purpose, but this sounds awesome because I mean, just the locations and the mystery behind the history. So you're taking something that should have enormous appeal to anyone who is curious whatsoever. And I'll give you an example. Sometimes I go to sleep with the TV on. There may or may not be whiskey involved, but there'll be something on that I can usually fall asleep to, right? And I cannot fall asleep to archaeology shows like all of these. They're almost celebrity archaeologists now, some of them are, and they start going through these scenes like what you're talking about, what you wrote about, what you described, and I'm riveted. And the thing about it is I had a friend I used to work with overseas, and he quit our line of work of what we used to do, and I asked, what are you doing? And he's like, well, I'm going to school for archaeology. I'm like, this is 2009 or 10. Well, you're going to be an archaeologist? I mean, that was like back in 1920 when they actually were finding things. No, no, they are finding things today. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll wake up at 1 a.m. and there it'll be, and they just found something with LIDAR. And so it's an adventure. And you have all those elements, all those great elements of, you know, the Indiana Jones and the Ricks and the Clive Cussler. We've got to find something really cool. Ryan Pote's doing some really cool stuff too. But yeah, you bring a really cool angle to this with your travel, with your expertise and your research. It brings it to life. And that's why I think that's one reason people should get all these books, because folks, this is not it. We got Rage of the Djinn, Devil's Eye. Definitely go out to the website and check these out. So I know that was just a big commercial for you, but it's my show. I'm a fanboy. I can be a fanboy if I want. What have you got going on now? What's next?
I always have thoughts trickle into my head as I'm trying to finish, you know, one book, and I keep pushing them away and pushing them away. I'm like, you stay out there, I'll deal with you later. So yes, I'm already dug into research and plotting another book. I already have a title, which usually comes to me early, weirdly. Mm-hmm. I'm not telling you, Jeff.
No, I wasn't going to ask the title. Not. What I wanted to know was, one, Oxdevere's breaking news here in the Rage Dossier. Oxdevere is never doing a domestic thriller set in Maryland. A setting.
Correct.
That's what I
Correct.
Was going to ask. Can we ask about, like, what kind
one
of
setting?
Look is?
Sure.
One. Yeah.
One central setting, Malta.
Oh. Oh, boy. You need to talk to Brad Taylor.
Good tip. Thank you.
Malta. He wrote a really cool book. It was one with the Ninja Turtles in it. Brad Taylor, everyone out there, hello. Welcome to the real world. Brad Taylor's a huge writer. Well, he was somewhere and he saw a license plate and he didn't recognize it. I mean, this is, you know, Delta Force dude and he knows everything. Didn't recognize this plate. I think he was in Rome. And so he looked up into it and Malta. There's a special order of something. You got to read the book. Anyways, Malta. So when are you booking the trip?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm looking into it. So
you're looking into it.
Yeah.
All right.
Have to go.
Hey, last question. When is Gorgons available? When can we get this thing? And look at this cover, folks.
It's pretty. They do such a good job.
Yes.
I really
summer,
love it.
Summer 2026 isn't good enough. People want this now. How do they get it?
It's July 14th. So you there can you find it on Amazon. And that's a week from the day we're recording this. Yeah. It's coming.
I've got to get some edits done on this podcast and get it set up and out there so everybody knows. No, I lied. It's not the last question. Besides your very cool website and your very cool newsletter, how do people follow you? Like, what do you use? Do you have any social media that you prefer? What one place can people find you at?
Instagram.
There you go. Follow Oxdevere at Instagram. Yes, Parker Jameson. She's fantastic. Thank you for joining us. You are the coolest. And we can't wait for this next book.
Me neither.
That's spoken like a true writer. I can't wait to get this thing done.
Right. It's not a book until I write it.
Parker, I want to thank you for joining us. The Writer's Dossier is coming to a trickle. I don't want to say an end, but right now you're the last trickle. Episode I have booked. So you're the bookend.
I'm honored.
And I'm glad to put you out there. There will be more episodes down the road,
okay.
But I can't keep up this pace. And I wanted to end this on a good note. I'm crazy about what you're doing, and you are so darn cool. Everyone should try to find you at a conference. Everyone should definitely get your newsletter and find out more about you and your books. And I'm happy to have you here on the Writer's Dossier today.
Thank you, Jeff.
You bet. All right. Bye, everybody. The Dossier Podcast is a production of The Idea Academy.